According to the Course in Miracles, that channeled book through Helen Schuckman, she assures us that we only have one problem. And that problem, our only problem, is separation. It says you only have one problem, and it's an astonishingly bold and confident thing to say. You have to admit it. Because if you have health issues, that is your number one problem. Relationship issues, number one problem. Don't have a relationship and you're single, number one problem. And this is saying you only have one problem. And it helps to just clear your palate and only have one thing left on it. So you can stop doing a million things to change things in your life. Because we do. We go out in all directions and make all kinds of changes in our life to put out all the different fires in our life, to change all the people who need to be changed so they can be more like us, to do all these things. When you find out, you could save all your energy and you could just narrow it down to one thing. And that one thing is separation. And what it's speaking about is the separation that happens when we walk through our life and think we have to do it all by ourselves. And the moment we think we have to do it all by ourselves, me, I, we're in trouble. We got a problem. That's where the problem begins. The problem does not begin when we look in our checkbook and we don't have enough money for rent. That's not where the problem began. The problem did not begin when you were in the therapist's office and found out that, you know what, your parents didn't do as good a job as they told you they had done with you, right? And you're paying a lot of money to take a look at that issue. Money they're not paying for you. This is coming out of your own pocket to figure this stuff out. That's not where your problem began. According to the Course, your problem began the moment. And keep in mind, when a problem begins, we don't know it begins until later when we see the effects of it. That's when we figure out we have a problem. But by then, it's already been going on so long, there might be all kinds, a whole field of effects that show us that something's wrong. But this is not the problem, and we need to know that so we don't waste our time and energy putting out all these fires when we can do what the Buddha said we should do, which was such good advice. And he said, go to the cause of all the effects that aren't working. And what does the Course say? It says, go to the initial problem, the problem that's causal, the original problem, the single problem upon which all other problems are founded upon. Go there. And when you go to that central fire, what you're going to find is that's where your problems began. And it's one thing. And we don't actually believe that. I mean, that's the thing. I know you're taking notes, and I'm not saying, please stop taking those notes. But we don't actually believe it's one thing, because we actually think it's our mother. We do, and we cherish that, or our dad, or our husband, or ourselves, our own lazy selves. We will not take that breath and get still for a few moments and trace back to the point in time when we actually started to believe we had to do it all ourselves. And maybe it's when we were 3 years old. I'm not sure consciously we can figure out where that moment is, but I'll tell you something right here, your soul knows. If you take one breath deeper than you ordinarily go, you can connect to that place inside of you that knows very well when you stopped being connected. Why? Because we came in connected. We're wired to connect. The I was never meant to stand alone. It was meant to stand with the other part of the I that makes all the difference in the world. The I am. Those two words, we're totally meant to go together. And when we separate the I from the I am, man, the Course in Miracles will say the I, the my, is going to lead us to a grievance. Sooner or later, we're going to get to a grievance. Tao Te Ching says, sooner or later, you're going to end up in prison, in the prison of your mind, in a trap. It's going to be a hard life. The I am, the thy. The I am. That's going to lead you into a whole different direction. Not only is it not going to lead you into a grievance, we take the opposite of grievance and we say, oh, okay, well, it's not going to lead me into grievances, it'll lead me into liking people. And people will like me, and we like that because we want to be popular. We want everybody to like us. But the opposite of grievance isn't being liked or being popular or even being loved. The opposite of grievance is miracle. That's the opposite of grievance in the Course in Miracles. You got to love that. It's like light years apart. And that's what it says it is. When you come from the place of thinking you have to do it yourself, you are going to end up in a land of grievances. And I don't just mean grievances against other people. I mean grievances against your own self. I'm not this. I'm not that. Why didn't I do this? I should have done this. At this age, how could I still be where I am? Why am I still single? Why am I still this? Why are they there? Why is that happening? Grievances that permeate our consciousness and, you know, don't show. Nobody would ever guess that all that's going on inside of us, especially if we're dressed well, you know. People say, look at you, you are so successful. And we will say, yes, I am. So we use the I am, but in a different way than it's intended. Yes, I am. We hide inside of ourselves all this stuff, which the Course in Miracles calls grievances. And what grievances is, the place when we are out of alignment, when we're out of alignment with the source of energy that's our source. We had a windstorm. It seems like we have a windstorm like every third day. And I know you're in New York thinking, yeah, well, that's nice for you. You're in nature and you have a house. Let me tell you something. I lived in apartments for 30 years. Don't be so quick to buy a home, okay? Because a home comes with, you know, with a lot of grievances, all right? So every time something goes wrong, you are opening up the checkbook. If you don't mind, like, just here, take it. There's the sump pump, and then there are the roof isn't quite, and the outdoor, and the drains, and the mice, and it's always something. So as you're in your little apartments, and you call the super when something's wrong and give him $5, be grateful. So we had a windstorm, one of like 10,000 windstorms, and we have trees surrounding our property. We're on the top of this wonderful hill, just surrounded by trees, and one windstorm shears almost off a huge, huge branch, not New York City tree branch, a little skinny thing with a few leaves popping out. This is, you know, this is in the woods branch. Big branch hanging down, swinging, but it won't fall off. So it's just hanging, swinging. Okay, we just leave it there. Do you know that thing looks like it's alive for like 3 months? All the green leaves, you'd think that this was completely attached. It looked so healthy, you would never believe that it was no longer getting any of the nutrients because it was no longer really attached except by a little bit of bark that certainly wasn't enough to feed the tree and keep it alive. So here's this thing hanging, and every day I look, and the leaves are green, and it looks like it's totally alive. So do we. So do we for a long, long, long time. After the point from which we separate from the source, where we're getting fed, where we're being watered and nourished, and we look alive, we look pretty good, we can function okay, we can even keep our jobs for those of us who have jobs that don't require us to actually, like, really think a lot or even be totally present. Sometimes you can do your job blindfolded or with my hands tied behind my back. That's what it means. We end up walking through our life and we don't even realize that we have sheared ourselves off from that part of our nature, the source. And if you have trouble with the word God, please do whatever you can do to get over that word and move quickly to another word so you don't let that word hang you up to get to where you want to be, which is back connected to the source of life, that underground stream, that underground current of life that nourishes you, that feeds you, that keeps you alive, not looking alive, alive. Not appearing alive, alive. so that you are sourced every single day from that one deep, nutritious, nourishing energy flow, and it's flowing through you, and you are in harmony with it. And you know what you discover? You're not making it all happen. This energetic force of life, this what they call the Tao, is. Oh my God, it makes all the difference in the world. Then we don't run around and say life is so hard. Yeah, when you're a branch dangling from a giant tree and you're holding on for dear life by a piece of bark, life is hard. Every time a windstorm comes along, you don't think that end of that tree, that big branch is going, oh shit, right? Oh man, look at the wind, because at any moment that thing's going to be slapped up aside its barky posterior. It's going to go flying somewhere. Probably on our driveway, $400 to chop it up and remove it. It's going to go flying, and it knows it's going to go flying. See, we know when a great wind comes, we're in trouble. We know when something happens, we are going to be freaking out. We know it because we are not connected to the place in us that when something comes along, it says, and you're never going to believe it, it says, bring it. Who in their right mind, I mean like not on drugs, would say bring it? So who would say bring it to the great wind that comes and shifts things around in your life? Which is why we hold on for dear life. And when a wind comes, when change comes, we don't want it to come. We freak out, literally. We can't handle it. We can't hold it. And yet we're on this path of life where every day change comes. And the Course in Miracles says something fabulous. It says you have one problem. And the problem is you're separated from the thick trunk and the deep roots. It's what the Tao calls it. The thick trunk and the deep roots that support you. And when we're separated from the thick trunk and the deep roots that doesn't care how hard the wind is, we walk around frightened all the time. And we say it's because we live in a dark and frightening world, and everybody in his right mind should be frightened because bad things are happening all the time. And I posit that's not why we're frightened. I posit that even if the day went by and not one bad thing was reported in a newspaper or on the radio or on television, that fear, that level of anxiety would still be going on inside of us, because it has nothing to do with bad things happening. It has to do with this hypothesis. That we have one problem, and that problem is our separation. And we need to get back in unity, to unify ourselves with the thick trunk and the deep roots that is the source of our life, so that when the wind comes, as the wind must, we can hold our ground. We can respond wisely. God, it's so quiet. Have I bummed you out? It's like 2012. It's 2012. I'm trying to give you like this deluxe message. And everybody's like, wow, this is like really heavy. You know, I could have been in the movies watching War Horse, you're thinking, which is not heavy at all, of course, because it's Disney. I know, but this is good news. I'm thinking, oh man, you're going to love this, because this is great news to start your whole year knowing you only have one problem. That should take like 14 other problems off your plate. All you got to figure out is how to solve this one problem, and it's gravy for the rest of 2012, which of course, Christmas 2012, the world's going to end, the rapture comes, the earth goes in, we all go with it. Or a nuclear thing happens, our eyes all melt out, and we're going to be dead anyway. But we'll still only have one problem. Right? This is good news. I assure you, this is good news. Right, so the last 3 months, I have been on this very interesting tour of talking with nationwide all of these radio stations about The Prayer Chest, which is a book I wrote years ago, which they just published in paperback and we revised. So I'm talking about it every single week, multiple times a week, to all radio stations about the message of this book. And the message of this book is interesting because it's a man who has a lot of problems. He has a lot of problems, not the least of which is his wife died. His kids need his support because they're both under 10. He's got a farm, and the bank said, you know what, you haven't paid your mortgage in so long, we are foreclosing on the farm. And he's got no other sustainable means of taking care of himself. He's got problems. We got problems. I'm not diminishing the problems that we have. And he had so many problems going on, not the least of which was the farm that he worked was a farm he didn't even want to work. He inherited the work. When I moved to New York City, I came here with one intention. I worked in the world of training and development. That's what I got my master's in. And I came to New York thinking, onward and upward. So I was at this level in Boston. I'm going to move to New York. I'm going to climb a couple of rungs, and now I'll be at this level. Who doesn't like that picture? And I get to New York, and I find out I can't even, like, stay at this level. It is so hard in New York. My $500 a week that bought me in Boston an apartment with a balcony on the 15th floor, underground parking, absolutely a view of the river, safe gated community, bought me a studio on Stanton Street in the Bowery, down in the Lower East Side before Stanton Street was Stanton Street. Okay, so it was my view out my window from my studio that was 9 by 15 with the kitchen in it and one closet. My view was of the trucks, the moving vans and the trucks across the street that all the prostitutes took their johns to. So I'd open my doors and see not condoms, but used condoms on the floor. That's what my $500 bought me. So my idea of why I came, I had a ton of problems. And when I got here, I couldn't get the job that I thought I was going to get, even though I had a beautiful resume. Obviously, I can communicate. It's not like I had trouble communicating. Obviously, I had a good resume, I had a good portfolio, I had done good work, I knew my stuff, graduated with honors and MA. I'm just prepared. Here I am. I thought, oh my God, roll yourself at my feet. I have arrived, right? And we do that. We think we are the shit. And I get here and you find out, no, what it is, you're going to live in a shitty neighborhood. That's what is going to happen. And I'm in this neighborhood thinking, what the hell happened? I had a plan. And we all have a plan. And we forget that this is the plan of the I, the me, the mine, my plan. And when we're separate, see, that branch doesn't even know it's separate. It still thinks it's connected. We still think we are connected. Sometimes we'll go to a class or we'll sit down and we'll say, oh yeah, okay, I'm meditating, it's 30 seconds, I got it down, I'm asking, I got a vision, I'm ready. And then we go out and we've done our 15-second meditation for the year. We forget that connection isn't like baptism where you go into a church, you do it once, and man, you are like good for, you're going to go to heaven because you have been dunked. That one time, that 1 hour, you are so covered for the rest of your life. You don't have to think about it again. This isn't like that. Being separate is something that we, if we know it's our one problem, it's the only thing we have to keep working on consistently. So not only do we unify, we stay unified. Because when you stay unified, the tree does the work for you. That's the difference. You don't have to do the work yourself. So I come to this place and I interview with so many in the business I was in, so many older men down in Wall Street. That's where I started. So many older men, every one of which took me to dinner in the evening off of work hours, which I thought, isn't this kind of odd that we're dining alone and work is there? Can we talk about work? And what I discovered was I was a great companion for them in the evenings in their private life, but they just didn't have a place to hire me. It was so odd and so queer. And I thought, how does a person who's so like me land in this place? How does a person like you land on a couch? How does a person like you not have money in the bank at this age, or be working at a job you hate, or in a relationship where you're not respected and loved? How do we land here? How does this happen? And this is not to say what's wrong with me, because when we ask that question, we are so asking the wrong question. It's the wrong question, because there's no answer to that question. Nothing is wrong with you. Nothing's wrong with you. What's wrong is that the connection between you and your source, you, the branch that should be vital, that should be giving fruit, that should be alive, that should be connected, that should be getting your nourishment from Mother Earth herself, is not connected to anything but you. I was connected to nothing but me. I was connected to me and rolling up my sleeves and saying I could do it. Hell, I'm a Jewish girl from immigrant stock, Poles. Both my parents are Polish on both sides, and I admit that. Right? I'm willing to say that. I'm not going to say, oh, I'm half British and I come from royalty and my parents came over on the Mayflower, their grant. They were Poles. They were peasants. I know how to work. I know how to make things happen. Nothing can get a Pole down. If you... Wow, I'm sorry. That's funny. Wow. Not that I would know. But I've seen pictures in magazines. I love that some people are like, what? So, where were we? Yeah, I'm a Pole. So, when you think and you're strong and you endure and you persist, we think that what we need to have is more strength. I have to have more endurance. I have to work harder. I have to go on more interviews. I have to send more resumes. And I ended up just like Joseph did, just like he did. He ended up in the place where his kids are going to be thrown out of their home on the farm. And I ended up in the place where I'm using my money, my savings, to pay to keep me in a city that I chose to come to. And I did not realize that was not my problem. My field was not the problem at the time. My field was shutting down. Less money was going into training and development at that time. Just my luck, we say. Just my luck, right? That wasn't my problem. The Bowery in Stanton wasn't my problem. My problem was I was doing this whole thing myself, trying to figure out how to make it happen, and that's as far as I got. When Joseph Hutchinson reached the place where he's a man of his certain age and he reaches a place where he can't feed his own kids, how humiliating is that? You have kids and you can't feed them? You're going to have to farm them out to other people, other families, because you don't know how to do it, and you've gone in arrears of your mortgage so long you didn't even realize it, that the bank man shows up one day? The turning point in the prayer chest, and this is the talk that I've been having with all these radio interviews, go to that same place. This book, part one of this book, ends very quickly, like before page 50. Part one ends. Part one is the part one of his life where he says, my life is over, right? He goes up into his attic. He goes up, his attic, look, his attic, the mind. He goes up to his attic and he throws a fit. He goes up to his attic, the place he's been going up to, praying to, bringing all of his little prayers to, hoping and wishing things will change. He goes up to his attic and cannot believe he has landed in this place in his life. God, he's got a list of problems and no way to fix them. He doesn't have a parent to inherit from. He doesn't have a rich friend. He didn't play the lottery because there wasn't any back in the 1800s where he was living. There was no way he could put his hands on cash. He was fighting to have a job on his farm that he hated. And I was fighting to get a job that years before I knew I had properly gotten my master's for. I was doing the right thing by working at that job, but it wasn't me. Bottom line was not what made my heart sing. Bottom line dollars. What made my heart sing was bottom line people. It wasn't my job to see the people. It was my job to train them to make more money for the company. Now, I'm not saying anything's wrong with that. I'm just saying it wasn't me. I'm not saying business shouldn't hire people like that to do that, because that's what they're in business for, to make money. I'm just saying it wasn't me. I was fighting for something I didn't even really love. And we need to look at that, because sometimes we fight for what we don't want because we've been doing it and we don't know another way. That's the I. There comes a day where the I am is going to replace the I, and this might be that day. Because this is the beginning of a 12-week series called 12 Weeks. I just came up with this title. Ah, yes, 12 Weeks. It's a dynamic title. God darn it. We're going to so bleep that pause out of the tape. I'm telling you that right now. 12 Weeks to a Way of Life That Works. And where do you start with that? And the place you have to start is with the one problem. 12 weeks to a way of life that works. You have to start with the one problem, because that one problem, when you begin to address it, I promise you, begins to change things for the better. All of the deeper teachings, all of the writings say the same thing. And not just getting up in the morning and saying, please help me. I'm not talking about that. I am talking about the separation, to repair what has kept us apart from that great I am, that great Tao, the great source of life that we're told every single time we open a book, that it is the secret source of everything. That's what it says. This is the secret source of everything. If you don't like the word Tao and you don't like the word I am, it's the secret source of everything. It's what is called in the Tao the treasure house. And you are about to spend your time connecting to that so that that secret source of everything can provide everything you need in your life. So it can begin to repair what seems to be irreparable in your life. So we don't have to land in a place where we're hanging on by a thread saying, what the hell is wrong with me? Asking the wrong question, because nothing is wrong with the branch. What's wrong is its connection to the tree is weak and rickety. And when we connect ourselves back up, back in deeply, we think, oh, that's just for spiritual people. Oh, that's just for religious people. I'm telling you, it's not. The tree is not religious. It is not a Jewish tree. I'm telling you that for sure. It's not a Buddhist tree. It's not a Taoist tree. It's not a Christian tree. It is a tree in nature that has lost its connection to the source. And when we lose our connection to the source, it's a long time before we start seeing what the effects are, and we forget that the problem started back then. He goes up to his attic, up to the place where we think we got it all figured out, the place where we can do it by ourselves if we had enough time or money, because that's what we think. If we just had more money, we could figure this thing out. What we don't realize is we are never going to get much further than we are now, in our life, with just this, with just the I, with just the attic, with just the me, with just the my. You can do some things, but you can't go all the way home to a life of your true life, your truest happiness, true fulfillment, unless you're connected up. Can't, unless you're connected up. Not with the I. He goes up to the attic and he throws a fit. Literally, I just want to read you this. It feels so good. But of course, I would say that because I have a boxing bag in my house. So when I read about people just having had it and just getting into that earthy place where you just throw a fit, and people say, oh, you should really transcend all that anger and send it up in a pink balloon. And I'm like, no, say the F word. It feels feel so good. Get into the anger because there's no way to get past it except through it, through it. He goes up to the attic and he says, what an idiot. First thing we say, what an idiot. What an idiot I came to New York. What a mistake that was. What an idiot. What was I thinking? It's not that we're an idiot. We have one problem and it's separation. One problem. And that is not a problem of being an idiot. That is not a problem of being an idiot. And then he says, the hell with you. And he is talking to this attic, to this place in himself that says, I have to figure it out all by myself. But he's talking to this attic. And he says, to hell with you, he yelled out the window. Without thinking, he grabbed the first wooden crate within reach, hoisted it above his head, and with a snarl more beastly than human, he hurled it out the attic window. Oh, this feels so good to me. The noise of the shattering glass was satisfying. To hell with you, he yelled out the window, watching it crash to the earth, and he began to breathe easier. There's a point at which we are going to recognize that we have one problem. That we have been depending on the smallest part of our nature that is not connected to the greatest part of our nature. I'm not talking about connecting to something in Jerusalem or up in the heavens where the clouds are, where the throne of the Lord sits. I'm talking about connecting to the greatness within you, the I am within you. That has access to the deep roots. The I am within you that has a thick trunk. You're not giving any power away at all. What you're doing is finally connecting to the place that can access that power so that you don't have to do it all by yourself. He says, he turns back to the room. He breathes easier, turns back to the room. He heaved a small broken side table up off the floor with a loud grunt and threw it against the shattered window as well. What good are you if you can't even save my wife? What good is all this work we've done if I can't get a job? And I was so qualified, so qualified. Every door was closed to me. It didn't make sense. What good is this I if it can't take us to our true life, our true love, our true work, our true happiness? What good is this I? It can tell us where our keys are. It helped me remember the title of this 12-week series, right? It's helpful. But it ain't meant to do the heavy lifting of true work, true purpose, true life, true happiness. We run out. We run out of steam. And we don't need to take an Anthony Robbins class to pump ourselves up so we can keep on working harder. It's not about working harder. It's not. Dozens of crates stuffed with outgrown and unworn clothes and unused quilts and scraps of mending and broken oil lamps and stubs of candle and on and on and on. Item by item, he cast the contents of the attic out the window. Lies, he screams. All lies. There's a point at which we recognize no matter how hard we work, we're not going further. We've reached a point of diminishing returns. And tell me, some of you haven't experienced the point of diminishing returns. You're working harder and less is happening. And things are getting smaller and smaller. It's like, what the hell? What the hell? He goes outside, right? He leaves the attic. He goes downstairs. I know this part by heart. He goes downstairs. He runs down his stairs. There is a big pile of everything. And look what he threw out. He threw out from the attic all the stuff his family stored for, 100 or so years in this farmhouse. All of the stuff that was handed down to him. All of the junk. All the items. Look, all the beliefs about who we are. All the beliefs about what life is. All the religion we were raised with, all the thoughts that we picked up and inherited from our families, everything we've inherited was there in his pile. What he was saying was, this pile of rubbish is no longer what I'm going to put my faith in. This I is no longer what I'm going to put my faith in with what it thinks I have to do and who it thinks I have to be because it's landed me in this place where I can't pay my rent, where I don't know how to take care of my kids. Where I don't have a wife, I don't have a home. How good can this pile, this belief system be if your life isn't working, really? Really, how good can it be? And he lights a match, and he sets it on fire, and he stands there until it burns itself down, and he says these two words. He says, an hour later, as the flame settled to glowing embers, Joseph cynically pronounced, the end. The story of his life was over. Except as I'm sitting in McHale's with my one friend that I made when I moved to New York, I'm sitting in McHale's. I don't know if they still have McHale's. It was a great burger joint. And if it's still around. And I'm sitting there literally, I am weeping in front of the whole restaurant. I could not contain myself. I had reached the end of what I, in quote unquote, I knew how to do and make happen. And I had done everything right in my life. I'd done everything right. I'd gone to the right schools. I had done the right things. I was a good girl. I tried making everybody happy around me. I had done the program. And I was weeping, and I said, I have no idea. Every door is closed to me, and it makes no sense at all. And I have no idea what I am supposed to do. And she said these words. She said, maybe you're not supposed to do that anymore. And that had, like, totally never occurred to me. At all, that maybe this was not the path I was supposed to be on. And I'm sure my jaw dropped open, you know, all the French fries, you know. And see, he burns it and he understands, Joseph, that it's lies, meaning this I, me, detached from the tree, cannot get myself all the way home. We cannot get ourselves to our destiny. Sorry, we might get some jobs, but we cannot get ourselves to our destiny, to our destined man, our destined relationship, our destined woman, our destined children, our destined right place in the world. That's why he set it on fire. That's why he said the end. And we think, if I let go of what I believe to pick up maybe another way of doing my life, we think it means the end of the world. And what we found out was when you turn the page in the book, in the book of our life, there's a new chapter. The fact is, life doesn't come right up to the great I that we think we are, the broken branch, and say, I'll tell you exactly what you're supposed to do, because we can't hear it. We can't hear it. I couldn't have heard that a year later I was supposed to go into the seminary. That was where I was really headed. People, my volunteering at night was always more important to me than all the work I did during the day. I worked at the Samaritan Suicide Hotline. I lived for Wednesday nights. I lived for that night of the week working with people in crisis. I have always lived for my volunteer work, but I never got it. The I didn't. Only the I am does. So I'm going to ask you if you'd be willing to try something for 12 weeks, because it's going to simplify, all this is going to simplify your life. Take a breath. Is this, like, too heavy? Because, like, next, I'll do it. Because, like, next week, I can come in with something so light. You know, I can take The Secret Garden. That's a sweet book. You all love it. I can read parts of it and have cookies and milk, and we can have something so sweet. Yes, right. Yes, Jesus, please, please. But I'm telling you, you have one problem, and here is the beginning of repairing, bringing into harmony, bringing into unity that which is out of alignment. And I'm telling you, it is going to change everything. Here's your prayer. Everybody starts this year with different prayers, different wishes, different dreams. I'm going to ask you to take upon this challenge, to try this, those of you who are bold enough to, for 90 days, this prayer. Thy will, you know it, be done. Yeah, she didn't even want to say it. It's like, oh, don't make me. Thy will be done doesn't mean thy outside of ourself. It means the great I am in me, the part of me connected to the thick trunk and the deep roots. That will, the strongest in me, the greatest in me, the part of me that did not separate, the part of me that came into this world and no matter what happened to me, I've never separated. The part that's still connected, we're calling upon that part to take the wheel. How can that be a bad idea? If our only problem is separation, how can this not be? You see, I thought in my mind as I was sitting working on this talk, well, actually sitting in the tub working on this talk, I thought, this is going to be the part where, like, they get up and cheer. I know it. They're just going to not be able to control themselves. They're going to say, our only problem is separation, and you have just given us the prayer that's going to mend the separation. Bravo! Right? Yeah. Ah! Thank you. Thank you. That's as it should be. Right? Right? What this is going to do is access the place inside of us by the part in us that doesn't know. We're calling upon the part in us that does. The part in us that's disconnected, we're calling upon the part in us that is connected. The part in us that's out of harmony, we're calling upon the part of us that has remained in harmony. It's like such a million-dollar prayer. I cannot tell you in 20 years of teaching this prayer in classes, because I only do it in smaller classes for people who seriously want to change things in their life. Because when I do it in big groups, you see what happens. I have to beg for applause. In a small group, I don't have to beg. You don't have to beg, because you're there saying just, what do I do to change the direction of my life into a way of life that works? And this is the first step, and I'm not kidding. When I say thy will be done, put down all your other prayers. How do I get the money to go here? How do I get this to go to school? How do I get a reference? How do I get what I need here? How do I lower my rent? How do I forget all those prayers? Forget them all. If for 90 days you do nothing but heal the one problem that you have, I can tell you with all the confidence in my body and all the confidence of my experience on this path that that prayer is going to call upon the greatest part of who you are. You are going to give up the wheel and let that part drive, and you are going to be driven into places and experiences and opportunities and synchronicities that you cannot believe are happening to you. And I have heard more stories than you can ever imagine that start like this. From out of the blue, somebody gave me tickets for a cruise to Bermuda. From out of the blue, my husband, who I'm estranged from, decided that when he cashed in the stocks that I didn't know he had bought when we were married, he just sent me the $70,000 that was half the share I didn't know that I even had, at just the time I needed to start my own business. Out of the blue, the part of our nature, the second part of this book, the second part of my life, began to lead me without me having to push or pull or manipulate or beg or plead or hope or wish or light special candles in the Catholic Church for a dollar apiece. I didn't have to do any of those things. I had to let the great I am, the thick trunk and the deep roots, take the wheel. And if you can follow me for 12 weeks, each week there will be one action to take. But this prayer will not change. You don't like the word prayer? This affirmation will not change. You don't like this affirmation? This thing that you have to say, this string of words, right? String of words with letters in them that end with a period, begins with a T and ends with a E, that will not change. That will remain constant. Put all your other small prayers down, because most of them come from the I. And now let a prayer come from the great I am that will heal the one problem that you have that you didn't know is the one problem that underlies every other problem you have. And how do I know? Because the Course in Miracles told me so. Enough said. Thank you. Thank you so much.